When we're not in the great outdoors, we're thinking about it. Kender Outdoors. Come on into the camp house and make yourself at home. Presented to you by Patriot Mobile, America's only Christian conservative wireless provider.
Welcome back. Come on in this camp house. I'm Billy Kender. Thank you for taking a little time out of your busy day for us. We greatly appreciate that. Camp house located just outside of Alvord, Texas. Almost halfway between Fort Worth and Wichita Falls. Along the historic and wonderful Highway 287. We're a couple of miles out of town right here at the gateway to the grasslands, the LBJ National Grasslands. And smack dab in the middle of the Bermuda Triangle of good old boy, you come here and just want to get lost and never be found. It's a pretty good place to be, and I'm glad you're here with us. Front door to the camp house is brought to you by a great product called Calming Care. Later on the show today, Tom Dockin up in Minnesota is going to talk to us about that retriever that's a little yippy in the duck blind. He's a little too talkative, a little too nervous Nelly. Calming Care can help you with that vocal dog or that dog that just is jumping up and down all the time. He's really way too happy about things. It's not a drug. It's very natural, a probiotic, as a matter of fact, that gently works with your dog over time to settle over anxiousness. Calming Care. Learn more about it at kinderoutdoors.com. You know, I really enjoyed putting together last week's show, looking back, enjoying sharing some old conversations with you that we've had over the years with different friends. Evidently, you liked it too, Lee Smith, Cook County, Texas. Billy, I just had the pleasure of listening to your replay of your interview with Ted Nugent. Thanks so much for sharing it with us again. My old buddy Glenn Thompson says, great show today, Billy. I love those look back programs. Thanks again for making my Saturday morning special. Thank you, Glenn. Far as I know, Glenn's never missed a show. And this week is number 750 consecutive weeks of Kinder Outdoors. 750 in a row. Never missed a one. Thank you, Lord. He's been good to us. Jim Pryor says, enjoyed the morning stroll down memory lane. Also enjoyed your support of veterans during the Georgia get-together, the Jim Shockey event. I wore military uniforms during 26 years of my Army career. Thank you, Jim, for your service. God bless you. Warren Gabbery from his home in the beautiful Carolinas. Absolutely great legend show today. I was especially inspired by Ted Nugent's call for we the people to speak up, stand up, and rise up against evil. And that was in 2014. How prophetic. Thank you one and all for your notes. Greatly appreciate them. Thank you for listening. Check out the bragging board at kinderoutdoors.com. There's a brand new smallmouth bass record in the state of Indiana. This is a big smallie. 8 pounds, 3.6 ounces. Rex Remington caught it, smashed the previous smallmouth bass state record. That fish weighed only 7.3, and it was caught 30 years ago. Rex caught the new state record out of Monroe Lake, Indiana. And he's on the bragging board at kinderoutdoors.com. And so is Milton Cade up in Oklahoma. He's got a largemouth bass from Dripping Springs Lake. Didn't tell us what she weighed, but I guarantee you she's over 8. Beautiful fish. Thanks for the pick. Corey Johnston put it all together on the St. Johns River, Florida last weekend. The Bassmaster Elite on the St. John. He's got a big blue trophy and a $100,000 check. He said that last week he just couldn't do anything wrong. Brad Watley, Bivens, Texas, finished second. Jacob Fouts, Charleston, Tennessee, third. Fourth went to Panama City, Florida, angler Drew Benton and Chris Johnston. Yeah, they're related. Rounded out the top five, Greg Hackney, 6, Jason Christie, 7. Ray Hanselman, Matt Airey, and Logan Latusso round out the top 10. Sam Iupa went pheasant hunting in LaSalle County, Illinois, 33 years ago. Had a fine day with his Remington 870, and then after he had put the dogs away and cleaned the birds, he replaced the bird shot with a slug in that same Remington 870 and climbed into a stand. After 40 minutes or so, a nice buck sauntered out under his stand, and Sam shot it. He was more of a bird hunter than a deer hunter, so he thought more of those pheasants. He did keep the antlers, mounted them on a board, and put them down in the basement of his house. 32 years later, he needed some electrical work done, and a friend from his trap shooting club was an electrician, came over to help out old Sam. And when he saw the antlers in the basement, he went bonkers, as he should have. A typical whitetail scoring 207 7/8 inches, potentially the new Illinois state record, and the number 3 whitetail of all time. Sam's 84 now, and he's grinning, holding up those big antlers on the bragging board at KinderOutdoors.com. If you own a dog, I don't care if it's a lap dog or a hard-working cow dog, I want you, before the day ends, to go find a box of Fortiflora somewhere and keep it in the fridge, because your dog will suffer from GI upset at some point, and Fortiflora will fix it. Fortiflora.
This is Eddie Salter, and when I'm not in the great outdoors, I'm thinking about it with Kinder Outdoors.
Have you ever heard of the National Association for Gun Rights? Fighting every day for your freedoms, your Second Amendment, your right to carry and protect your home, your family, yourself. Patriot Mobile knows about them. And that's why when I pay my phone bill every month to Patriot Mobile, a portion of that bill goes to the National Association for Gun Rights. Another portion of my bill goes to strong 4G and 5G nationwide wireless coverage. With U.S.-based customer support, with all of the turmoil that we see in our world day to day, it's refreshing and solid to do business with America's only Christian conservative wireless provider. I want to pay your activation fee when you use the promo code KINDER, K-I-N-D-E-R, with Patriot Mobile. Make the switch. PatriotMobile.com/Kinder.
Because warmer weather is here, would you remove the insulation from your attic that warmed you during the winter? Of course not.
We all rely on that same insulation to keep us cooler in the summer months. Hi, I'm Teresa Miskin.
And I'm Teresa's husband, Ron Miskin.
Together,
we are the Buffalo Wool Company. The Buffalo Wool Company harvests the insulating fiber from bison ranches all across this country.
We process, blend, and create the best quality and the most effective socks possible for both winter and summer.
The moisture-wicking properties of the buffalo fiber keeps your feet dry, holds down any bad bacteria, and testing shows that your feet will remain 3 to 5 degrees cooler than in a traditional cotton sock. These bison socks are tough and extremely long-lasting as well.
Crew socks, compression socks, boot socks, ankle socks, adult and kid sizes, all from the longest-lasting, hardest-working, truly insulating fiber that insulates the buffalo.
Please check us out at thebuffalowoolco.com.
Hey, crappie fanatics, Wally Marshall, Mr. Crappie here, introducing the all-new Mr. Crappie Baits by Strike King. Mr. Crappie sugar gliders are 1.5 inches with built-in wings that give it gliding action like a thread-thin shad. Sugar gliders come in 16 vibrant colors. The perfect crappie lure for docks, bridges, and brush piles. Shoot it, shooter. Don't pass this up, the new Mr. Crappie Little Sucker, the smallest crappie swim bait on the planet. This power-packed little sucker is designed with a vibrating tail that can't be steel. Little Suckers comes in all of your favorite crappie colors and more. Flip it, dip it, or skip it. Match them up with the all-new Mr. Crappie Teensy Sausage Heads, sizes 1/16, 32nd, and a 64th. Perfect for casting, vertical jigging, and especially forward-facing sonar. There's even more. The crappie cutter, jackknife, chicken chain, sausage fins, and the shoe shiner. Get yours today at your local tackle dealer or StrikeKing.com. Honey, where's my fillet knife?
The Wild Sheep Foundation. Our purpose sounds simple, to put and keep wild sheep on the mountain. But from where we stand to the top of the mountain is a challenging and exciting journey. To be successful, we support the top scientific minds in wildlife research. We tell the story and history of the wild sheep in North America to those around us, like you. And step by step, we protect and grow wild sheep populations. If not for the Wild Sheep Foundation, more than $115 million in care, concern, and conservation work would not have happened over the past 40 years. Important work that has seen our wild sheep populations grow from 25,000 or so in the 1950s to more than 85,000 today. Learn more about the worldwide leader in wild sheep conservation. Secure a membership. Attend a banquet. Bid on an auction item. Make an impact on top of the mountain. WildSheepFoundation.org.
At Patriot Mobile, our mission is to defend freedom with great partners like you and Kinder Outdoors.
Thank you so much for hanging out around our campfire at Kinder Outdoors. I'm Billy Kinder. We're going to pay attention, give a little attention to the bird dog community today. I have a history there, and so does this guy. He has trained up a couple of national champions in the retriever world. We're headed for the great state of Colorado, and my old friend Carl Gunzer with Purina Pro Plan. Carl, I always enjoy our visits. Welcome back.
Well, it's great to be back. I always enjoy catching up, Billy.
Now, you're there in Colorado. Where exactly in Colorado are you?
Well, the closest town is Crawford, and it's on what's called the Western Slope. It's near Montrose or Gunnison, a little bit south of Grand Junction.
So you've got a few grouse over there. You've got some upland birds.
We do. Yeah, I miss my pheasants, of course, but there are some grouse here. There's also a surprising amount of good waterfowl hunting. People don't usually think of Western Colorado and waterfowl in the same breath. You know, they're fairly concentrated because of the rivers, but there is some agriculture out here. We grow quite a bit of corn, and it's a pretty good little flyway and little area in the wintertime.
That's a well-kept secret. That's a good one.
I'm writing
that down. Well, Carl, a lot of guys have been running in spring field trials. And maybe their dog's getting older, and it's time to replace them with a puppy. Not replace them, but add a puppy to the kennel, to the string.
You bet.
And boy, that German short haired out at the club has really been winning. Or maybe that pointer or setter is excelling and doing well. How do we go about choosing a breed, not necessarily a puppy from a particular litter, but a breed if we want to branch out a little bit? What thought goes into that?
Yeah. Well, I think there's a lot of questions, right? I think the first thing is where you hunt and what you hunt. So, you know, it's going to be different if like you're a waterfowler, then, you know, a pointing breed or whatever is probably not the best choice. Obviously the versatile breeds are good, but, you know, if you're a really diehard waterfowler, then I'd say certainly go with a retriever. Or conversely, if you're an upland hunter, you know, and you like birds pointed, then certainly the pointing breeds. You know, some other thoughts is how much land you have. So, right, are you in a subdivision? You know, if you're in a subdivision, you don't exercise that much. You know, do you really want to get a pointer that's going to be, you know, or a short hair or something that's going to be active in the yard? Or if you have a small house, you know, maybe you don't want a bigger breed. Maybe you'd look at a English Cocker or a Springer, a smaller breed. And then I think, you know, up north versus down south, of course, you know, the dogs have to be proficient wherever they are. But, you know, if you live in Arizona and only hunt in Arizona, maybe you really want to think about a short-haired breed like a Vizsla or a German Shorthair or a Pointer or something like that, you know, as opposed to a Drahthar or a Wirehair or something that's got more fur. It's just going to be hotter. Or conversely, maybe you live in Minnesota, maybe you want to think about something that's got a little more fur if you hunt in cold weather. So
yeah.
I think maybe, you know, what you hunt, where you live, All of those things play into the equation.
Good thinking, yeah. And I know with my field trial background, and you've seen this too, a lot of us get breed blind. Like me and my Brittany's, there's nothing quite as good as that out there anywhere. I'm staying with my Brittany's. And then the short hair starts winning a lot. And I say, well, okay, let me take a look at these short hair puppies.
Yeah,
I might jump the fence a little bit now. Winning.
That's blasphemy. That's
winning
blasphemy
is persuasive.
You, Billy, but, yeah.
Winning is persuasive. I tell you what, no matter what breed you have and no matter where you live, I think we're in agreement, as are about 90% of the field trial champions across North America, that Pro Plan Sport, the performance formula in the purple sport bag, 30% protein, 20% fat, is absolutely the go-to fuel for the field trial and working dog, sporting dog community. Carl, it's everywhere.
Yeah, we're pretty proud of that, and you know we keep track of the winners. You know, the dogs that win the National Bird Dog Championship or the National Retriever Championship, and you know, there's no question that more winning dogs are fueled by Pro Plan than any other brand. And I think, you know, 9 of the last 10 bird dog national champions have eaten Pro Plan. And when you work that hard, you don't want to be worried about nutrition when it comes time to perform. And I think the quality and consistency of Pro Plan has really helped it excel in the sporting dog world.
You know, you've been with me out in West Texas, and you know how demanding that country is and how big it is and how far these dogs have to travel, not only today, but again tomorrow, day after day after day. And the wild bird hunters you meet down at the local diner or the gas station, you talk to them about it. And again, 9 times out of 10, Purina Pro Plan to keep those dogs rolling. Warmer weather coming up. This is a hot fuel, 30% protein, 20% fat. I have never switched from performance formula in the summertime. I just have cut back. Like the Pro Plan professionals have told me to, and it's worked beautifully for me through the years. You don't want to change feed.
Yeah, there's really no benefit to changing. There's no compelling reason to switch. You know, it is a complete and balanced formula. They can eat it their whole lives. They're not like us that they think, well, I want, you know, steak tonight and chicken tomorrow and shrimp the next day, right? To the dogs, you know, fuel. They don't live to eat like we do. They eat to live. And so, you know, there's really no reason to switch. The first thing is I want to hope that everybody is portioning their feed for their dogs, because I think that's really important, not just in the summer months, but year round, right? Like, you should not be free feeding and just letting a dog have free access to food, because then you don't know if, you know, they go off their feed, how much they're eating. They can get heavy. They can get skinny. They don't learn to eat. So then when you go on the road, you know, and you give them their bowl for, you know, 2 hours in their crate, they're like, well, I got this all day. I don't need to eat now. And so then they eat right before they have to run. So there's a million good reasons that say we should portion their food and feed them on a regular schedule. And then in the summertime when they're not working, you know, frankly, they just need fewer calories. So do yourself a favor and feed the same food, feed a little bit less, and save a few dollars on your feed bill.
It's been proven scientifically that our dog's metabolism, by the time they adjust to a new feed, it doesn't happen overnight. It takes time, and it's easier on their system just to feed the same fuel year-round and cut back the portion like you were talking about.
Yeah, it takes around 8 weeks, maybe up to 12 weeks for their body to start metabolizing a different protein and fat level to their best ability. So, you know, about the time you'd want to start reducing their food, you'd probably need to be switching back to it, you know, for the fall. You know, if you start to say you want to take them off of the 30-20 in June or something, well, you know, if you hunt in September, you really need to be starting them back on 30-20 in July. So, you know, start a little bit, what's the point? I guess, you know, and there can be exceptions to every rule. You know, if there's a dog that just gets heavy, has a slower metabolism, tends to be overweight, then absolutely, you know, you could consider switching them off of the 30-20. In fact, maybe they shouldn't be on 30-20, you know, year-round if, you know, they're a spayed female that's not super active. You know, there's a lot of great formulas, a 26-16 and others that, you know, have different caloric densities. But in general, the best advice is keep the dog on the same formula year-round.
Carl Gunzer, my friend at Purina Pro Plan. Thank you so much, Carl. I appreciate the time.
Thanks, Billy. Always a pleasure.
A winning combination for me for decades has been Pro Plan Performance from a hard-working bird dogs and a regular regimen of Forta Flora. Builds a strong and steady gut no matter where we go or how hard we hunt.
Hey, everybody, it's Justin Lucas. And when I'm not in the great outdoors, I'm sure thinking about it with Kinder Outdoors. Billy, how'd you get that chip out of my graph? Give that back.
These are unsettling and even scary times for many people. But for others, there's peace, even as an angry world cries out. The source of that peace is Jesus Christ. I'm John Watson, pastor at Cornerstone Bible Church in Roanoke, Texas. At Cornerstone, we teach the Bible with no man-made religion added in. Join us online Sunday mornings at 10:15 Central at csbiblechurch.org. It's just God's Word, csbiblechurch.org.
At Marksman Firearms and Outfitters, you'll find a huge selection of firearms, ammo, fishing tackle, including rods, reels, lures, baits, and every accessory you can imagine. Whether you buy, sell, or trade, Marksman's mission is to guide and educate their customers, whether they're new to firearms or experienced, skilled shooters. Visit one of their stores in Mansfield, Granbury, Killeen, or Wichita Falls. For more info, go to MarksmanFirearms.com. Make your mark at Marksman. Introducing Canyon Valley Provisions.
Grass-fed beef is high in omega-3s and conjugated linoleic acid, which is known as CLAs. In layman terms, it's a type of fat that your body can use, and it doesn't damage your heart or any part of your vascular system.
Buy better beef for your family.
We manage holistically, or some people call it regeneratively. We want everything that we do to be a part of our good stewardship of the land. We think that's what God's put us here to do, so the cattle are healthy and the land's healthy. We want both. We don't want one or the other.
If you were to buy a grass-fed, grass-finished steak by the pound, you'd pay anywhere from $18 to $30 a pound. But if you buy a quarter, half, or whole, you're ranging from anywhere $7.80 and below. So you're paying a third of the price for that steak and, you know, those good cuts. And you get a whole lot more bang for your buck when you buy in bulk.
Don't let 2020 happen in your home again. CanyonValleyProvisions.com. Raising cattle in West Texas for five generations. After spending a few days at Joshua Creek Ranch, I describe it as a sportsman's nirvana.
We love creating a unique experience for each of our guests. You know, the interests can vary here from wing shooting to deer hunting to fly fishing to river kayaking. So we have a great variety of guests, and we like for them to enjoy everything we have to offer.
As I enjoyed the birth of a new day over the rolling hill country ranch that is Joshua Creek, I was amazed at the wildlife: quail, pheasants, native white-tailed deer, trophy class axis deer.
We've worked hard on the habitat, planted improved grasses, really with the help of some wildlife biologists, studied what would make the best habitat to keep our game here.
Mm-hmm. We can hunt easily 6, 7, 8 groups. And we don't try to do it on 40 acres. I mean,
right,
these people get to walk. They get to see some country.
Joe and Ann Kirchival invite you to enjoy this free-range ranch just northwest of San Antonio. Visit JoshuaCreek.com. Dove hunting in Argentina is well documented, but as my friends at JJ Casseria, Cordoba Doves, will tell you, the duck hunting is unmatched anywhere in the world. Lane Balky is the U.S. representative for JJ Casseria.
The duck lodge is in Corrientes. We shoot 30 ducks in the morning and 10 per D's in the afternoon. We have 11 different species of ducks. We have a duck season from the 15th of April to the 31st of August.
You are assured before you ever leave American soil that you're going to feel welcome and at home when you hunt with your new friends at JJ Casseria.
Our lodge is beautiful. It's 4 years old. It has 10 double bedrooms, all with private baths, all heated and air conditioned. It's very comfortable. We don't put on air, so you'll feel as relaxed in the lodge as you do in your living room.
Hunt world-class doves and ducks in Argentina. Plan next year now by visiting CordobaDoves.com.
My name is Jose Grasso, the owner of JJ Cacheria. Come see me in Argentina.
For the land of the free and the home of the brave. From high school gyms to towering stadiums, every time I see our flag wave, I feel a humbling reminder of the brave who keep and have kept us free. I stand to honor the sacrifices of the generations before me. Heroes who charged in the battle through bombs and bullets, who lost their brothers and still pushed through, fighting for every inch of our freedom. I stand for my brothers who can't stand anymore. Men who hunted terrorists to the ends of the earth, who sacrificed their bodies and their lives so that we could peacefully live ours. I stand for the children, the spouses, and parents whose family made the ultimate sacrifice for us. We are all standing. We're the National Rifle Association of America, and we are freedom's safest place.
Come in off the porch. Kinder Outdoors is back.
Proud partners with Patriot Mobile.
This corner of the camp house is brought to you by my family at the Dallas Safari Club. I'm a life member because I believe in the mission. And DSC has been true to that mission for decades and decades now. Ensuring the conservation of wildlife. Education and advocacy for well-regulated hunting and sustainable use. All good things. Learn more about DSC when you visit me at kinderoutdoors.com. K-I-N-D-E-R. I got a note from my friends with the Game and Fish Department in Nebraska this week. They said, hey, Billy, tell everybody that the morel mushroom picking season is here in Nebraska and it's good this year. A lot of folks do their hunting on the forest floor for those delicious morel mushrooms. It's a short season, but it's here, and well worth a little time to get out and bag a few of these wonderful tabletop treats. There's a website called thegreatmorel.com. Brad Wildermuth is passionate about morel mushrooms.
Brad, welcome to the show. I don't know anything about morel mushrooms other than they just taste great, and I'm here to learn more, Brad.
Well, let's see what we can get going here, Billy.
That sounds good. Brad, the morel mushroom changed my life some years ago. I wasn't a mushroom fan really at all, and then I had morel mushrooms somewhere, and I thought, this is really, really good. And then on a fishing trip in Arkansas not long after that, a buddy said, I'm not fishing today. I'm hunting mushrooms, morel mushrooms. And I thought he was crazy, but it's a big deal. People love to hunt this time of year for morel mushrooms, don't they?
Yeah, it is. It is a big deal. And it's pretty widespread across the U.S. In terms of popularity. I can think of probably at least most of the southern states, clear up through the Midwest states, up into Maine, and then you got the Pacific Northwest as well.
Yeah, so it's widespread. Morels are loved by everybody. Here's step number one in my morel education, Brad. When I reach down to pluck a mushroom, how do I know I'm picking a morel and not something that's going to make me see purple spots spinning around?
I think the very first indication is they simulate or look like a sponge. I mean, for beginners, that's probably the easiest thing. And then there's some great resources, including our website, that can really help you identify them. But there's only, like, I believe 11, 12 maybe edible mushrooms that are out there. And the morel is probably the easiest to identify because of the spongy look to it.
Yeah, and you're right. If folks will go to thegreatmorel.com, You're going to see plenty of examples, and you're going to get a full education on morel mushrooms. So if I were coming to your house for dinner, Brad, how are you going to serve those morel mushrooms up? You have a favorite?
Hey, I'm an old-fashioned guy. There's probably the classic morel recipe, which is usually just a fried in a cast iron skillet. Some people prefer some breading, and some people don't, but just a slab of butter and medium heat. Some people do crackers. Some people anymore with the culinary experts that are out there, there is a wide, wide range of what you can do with them. But frying is probably the most common, so.
Yeah, there you go. And like we said before, if you'll visit thegreatmorel.com, you're going to see a lot of examples and all kinds of recipes and great information there. Morel mushroom hunters, it's like people that collect Jeeps. You know, you got the Jeep Club or these different groups around. There's a big world of morel mushroom hunters out there, and they're passionate about it, aren't they?
Oh, they very much are. So, and the seasoned hunters all have theories, some validated and some not, but no matter which mushroom hunter you'll come across, you could be in the woods and, oh, it's too dry today, we need more rain, the mayapples aren't up, got to find these certain type of trees, and lots of people have opinions, and rightfully so. So, but very
yeah,
common.
There you go. How long does morel mushroom season last? Is it a short period of time every year?
Yeah, typically you'll start to see them pop up in the southern states, Alabama, Georgia, Arkansas, some Louisiana, in the early part of March. And then they tend to migrate north as the spring kind of heads north. So at least in the eastern states, you know, they'll just kind of move right on up into Tennessee, Kentucky, Oklahoma, and sometimes in Texas as well. Typically about a 4-week period from the time you find your first one till they tend to go away.
Yeah, it's kind of like spawning crappie or the bass spawn, you know. It's pretty intense when it's here, but it's only a few weeks, so you got to get out there and get after it.
Yeah, and many times we're at the mercy of the weather, and you'll hear a lot of people just complain about the weather.
Yeah.
They tend to run in cycles, too. You'll typically find what's called the gray morel variety early on, or blacks. And then you'll go to the cream yellows, what some people call creams or blondes. And then the yellows are typically the bigger ones that come near the end of the season. And when you find in the yellow ones, you pretty much know that your season's coming to an end.
Oh, okay. See, I'm learning as we go here. I'm becoming a morel expert right before your ears there, Brad. Hey, if you find a morel mushroom, does that mean there's going to be a bunch in that area? You're on to something there, or are they pretty sporadic and you really have to hunt for them?
I think, certain regions really have to hunt for them. Got an email from somebody in North Carolina that claimed that, they used to be from the Midwest, and you really have to hunt for them. Yet there are those in Ohio and Indiana, Pennsylvania that really have to hunt for them, unlike when you get up into Michigan and Wisconsin and Iowa, where they tend to be a lot more plentiful for some reason.
Yeah. Bass fishermen, deer hunters, we travel. We'll go across the United States or halfway around the world for a great fishing trip or hunting trip. Do mushroom hunters do that in the spring too? Will they take all of their vacation in the spring and say leave Arizona and then go to Georgia and then up to Michigan and kind of follow the morels around? You ever heard of anybody like that?
Yeah, that's not uncommon. Actually, that's probably very common. Some team members of ours wanted to get a jump start, so they went to northern part of Georgia here at the end of March, and they had a little bit of success. But yeah, it's very common. I think people, especially once they get transplanted to other parts of the U.S., if they grew up being mushroom hunters, you'll tend to find that they want to get back home to do it again. So
Oh, that's awesome. And if folks want to learn more about the morel mushroom, maybe plant a mushroom hunt of your own or get a recipe or whatever, talk to some other mushroom hunters, morel mushroom hunters. It's thegreatmorel.com. Great website, by the way, Brad. You guys have the morel mushroom covered top to bottom.
Hey, thank you, Bill. I appreciate it. Hey, the other thing, there's a lot of great clubs out there, especially regional clubs, morel clubs and stuff like that. So if somebody is interested, do a little Google research and see what's going on there. I know particularly up in Michigan and Wisconsin and stuff, they'll do, group hunts and stuff like that and take people out. And
Yeah. You know, we're all familiar with fishing guides. You can get a morel guide too, I guess.
That's right.
Right.
Yes, you can. Yeah. And they're out there. I mean, I strongly encourage people who haven't done it before to get your family out there and really make it an event of just getting back in touch with nature.
Yeah, great way to get the family out in the woods. Well, I've enjoyed our conversation, Brad. Thank you so much for sharing the morel info with us today. And, again, great website.
All right, hey, thanks for having me, all right?
Hey, everybody, it's Stephen Browning. And when I'm not in the great outdoors, I'm thinking about it with Big Billy Kinder Outdoors.
When we venture into Dallas-Fort Worth for conventions and expos and Christmas shopping and family visits and football games and whatever, we stay in the cabins at the Vineyards Campground and Cabins on beautiful Grapevine Lake, Texas. Each cabin has its own individual living social area and kitchen, dining room table. The kids and grandkids will love the loft, and you and your wife will enjoy the peaceful privacy of your own bedroom. One thing I really love about the cabins at the Vineyards Campground and Cabins in Grapevine, Texas, is that I can park my truck right outside my door. No elevators, no getting up in the middle of the night and peeking out the window at the mass of vehicles to see if mine's still there, unmolested. I pour myself a cup of coffee from the supplied coffee pot in my Vineyards cabin and enjoy a view of the lake from my front porch. The Vineyards Campground and Cabins, Grapevine, Texas. VineyardsCampground.com. Weatherford Truck Equipment has been supplying premium truck accessories and equipment since 1997. Chip Knees and the crew at Weatherford Truck Equipment are pros that can totally equip your farm, work, or town truck to totally suit your needs. Flatbeds, grill guards, bumpers, bed covers, toolboxes, hitches, running boards, or any custom fabrication that you can scheme up for your truck. Weatherford Truck Equipment is located at 2620 Ranger Highway in Weatherford, Texas, just 20 minutes west of Fort Worth. Visit online at weatherfordtruck.com and take a look at the exceptional quality in our truck accessories and customized metal fabrication. Ranch truck, service truck, special purpose truck, it's all at Weatherford Truck Equipment. Contact Chip and set up an appointment to talk over your truck accessory or custom fabrication needs. Weatherford Truck Equipment, 2620 Ranger Highway in Weatherford. I want to read the mission statement from my friends at Patriot Mobile. Quote, "Our mission is to passionately defend our God-given constitutional rights and freedoms and to glorify God always." End quote. Now, if you're dedicating your work to the Lord and to fulfill a mission statement like that, you're going to do a good job. Hey, listen, guys, if you've got great reception, cell reception right now in your deer blind or your favorite fishing hole, you're going to have that same quality with Patriot Mobile. But there are some differences. When you have questions or need assistance, you're going to talk to someone in these United States of America. When you pay your bill, a portion of that payment is going to go to defend your free speech, your Second Amendment, and your right to worship. The name says it all, Patriot Mobile. And listen, if you'll use the activation code KINDER, K-I-N-D-E-R, I'm going to pay the activation fee for you. Patriot Mobile.
At the Outdoors Tomorrow Foundation, we're really happy to have more than 50,000 kids in school classrooms learning about archery, fishing, boating, and other outdoor skills each year. We're thrilled that we have grown to schools across the United States and continue to grow. We're humbled that teaching wildlife conservation to our future generations have been so eagerly accepted by more than 250,000 kids so far. We're happy, thrilled, and humbled. But we're not stopping. The Outdoor Adventures program in junior highs and high schools across America has proven to be a hit with kids. And in case after case, we've seen Outdoor Adventures' young lives changed. Kids that just were not into school and not involved are now excited to get into the classroom each day because of Outdoor Adventures. The kids earn classroom credit by learning the outdoor basics, and they smile while learning. If you want Outdoor Adventures in your local school, contact me, Scott McClure. I'm at gootf.com. That's Scott at gootf.com.
We support the solid values, strong backbone, and struggle for freedom that made America great to begin with. This is Kinder Outdoors, mobilized by Patriot Mobile.
They're going to tear the K. Bailey Hutchison Convention Center down to the ground in downtown Dallas, and it's going to be spectacular when they finish rebuilding, but that's going to take about 5 years. So where in the world do you move a party the size of the Dallas Safari Club Convention and Sporting Expo? You can't just rent the hotel ballroom down the street. Hey, DSC is headed for Atlanta in January. Going to do that for 5 years while the rebuild takes place. And then it's right back home again. Go ahead and get your hotel and your airline booked now. Save some money and enjoy the same great party that you always have with the Dallas Safari Club Convention and Sporting Expo. I've got my buddy John Bonnell here with me, Master Chef John Bonnell. John, a lot of people right now thinking we're absolutely nuts for talking about mushrooms on a hunting show, but I bet you have been morel mushroom hunting.
Oh, I have, and it's one of the greatest things in the world when you can harvest your own. Morels are absolutely the king of mushrooms, and they are incredible. If you don't know what you're doing, don't just go grabbing mushrooms, but if you know, if you've got someone that'll teach you, morels are absolutely the gold of the forest. I mean, when we can find them commercially, they'll go for $30 to $40 a pound. Wow.
Hey, they are so good, either compliments to a steak or even just by themselves. How do we prepare our mushrooms, John? I would think we'd want to be really careful and kind of delicate with them.
You bet. To me, the greatest thing about morels is just their incredible woodsy, earthy flavor. So I don't like to do too much with them. Celebrate what they are and don't go overboard. Once you pick them up and brought them home, make sure you clean them really well. Give them a rinse. They've got lots of holes in them. So look and make sure you get everything out of there if they've got some debris or dirt or anything. Once they're clean, get you a hot saute pan, a little bit of butter, some shallots and garlic, a little fresh thyme. Saute them for about a minute and that's it. They just need a nice little saute, a couple of little complimentary flavors, and they are amazing by themselves. They go great on top of a steak. Any type of wild game that you've got, morels on the side will hit them perfectly for a pairing. Beautiful flavors.
That is so simple. You can do that over a campfire, out on a spring turkey hunt with guys.
Absolutely. And if you've got really big ones, just slice them into about, quarter inch rings and give them a quick saute. You don't have to cook them to death. You don't have to reduce them down anything. They work really well in a sauce. They work well in a soup, but just really fresh sauteed with a little butter is unbelievable in flavor.
John Bonnell, Master Chef and our camp house cook here at Big Billy Kinder Outdoors. If folks want to check you out online, find out where your restaurants are and come see you, John, it's easily done.
You bet. The BonnellsRestaurantGroup.com. It's just BonnellsRestaurantGroup.com, or you can visit any of our Facebook pages. If you look for Bonnell, you'll find it.
Kinder Outdoors brings you the top pros in the country like Master Chef John Bonnell. And up in the great state of Minnesota, my dear friend, Tom Dockin, one of the finest bird dog trainers on the planet. What do you do, Tom, about that dog that's really, really vocal in the duck blind?
Well, there's two things here. I always kind of ask, is he barking or is he whining?
Oh, there's a difference?
Yeah, there is. I mean, how to take care of it is different.
Yeah.
I'd rather have a dog that would want to bark, and people go, why would you want one that wants to bark? Barking, you can do a bark collar. And And when the dog would bark, the dog would get a correction. But the biggest reason there is a dog understands to quit barking. I mean, they catch on to that really quick. And then I wouldn't physically be doing anything.
Yeah.
You just say, okay, you take care of your barking problem on your own. Whining, I'm totally convinced it's subconscious. It's subconscious. I mean, discipline-wise, I don't care what you would do. In normal situations, you have a dog that whines. Yeah, a house could fall on him, and 2 seconds later, he's whining. And it's just tough. My suggestion on that for anybody who's starting off with a young dog is nip it in the bud right away. So if you have a puppy who's whining or a young, not just in the blind, but they start whining, you know, get that muzzle, grab that muzzle, give a little squeeze, quiet. I don't care how good a dog trainer you are either. I've had dogs, my own personal dogs, that, you know, I got to stay on him because I don't want this to go. For the first 2 minutes when you're in the blind, oh, isn't that cute?
Yeah.
If somebody's hunting with you.
Yeah.
The next 4 hours,
miserable.
It's just lost everything. So I'd say the biggest thing is that don't let it get started. If you see it start happening at home or some of those things, do it. One other thing that you can do, though, too, those dogs are normally those higher energy dogs and drive-wise. Take yourself a training dummy and, you know, early on, just wear them down a little bit.
Yeah.
Take that edge off.
Right.
You know, they're... Have you ever seen a dog whining while he's pheasant hunting?
No.
I mean, they're on the move.
Right.
It's that anticipation of, I'm sitting here, I'm waiting, you know, there's nothing going on.
Yeah.
But that anticipation when they see that bird come in, they know what's going to happen.
True.
And then it's not just when they see a bird coming in. It's like, I'm anticipating we might see some birds coming
in.
So that makes it tough. So barking, definitely. Bark collar, you can take care of that. Any whining, grab that muzzle. And you may have to, you know, squeeze a little bit, quiet, and you may have to increase that intensity. And then I always say if worse comes to worse, you cannot take care of it. I say I have a cure for about $50.
Yeah?
And everybody goes, you're kidding me. I go, get a set of earmuffs.
Yeah.
It's the cure is for your ears, not for the dog, because it's just not going to stop.
Yeah.
And this would apply not only to our sporting dogs, which we love to talk about, but our house dogs. Man, that's very common with a dog that wants to be fed while you're eating or wants outside or whatever he might want. If he has a desire and he's not getting it, he can just really drive you nuts with the whining.
Well, and they'll manipulate you.
Yeah.
I mean, at that point, you go like, well, what do you want?
Right.
Well, he wants food. Well, what did he do?
He
actually communicated to you, here's what I want, but has learned more importantly that if I make this noise, I get your attention.
Yeah.
So it's no different if you're trying to crate train a puppy or something, that if every time they whine, you let them out.
Yep.
Who's training who?
Yeah, the whining just gets amplified. One more time, the muzzle.
Yeah, a little squeeze on that muzzle. You can do it with those younger pups, too. Just a light little squeeze, quiet. It starts up again. And what you want to do is find a level where you might start getting some silence. So you start off light, like any other correction, and then you come back in if they start right away. Just a little more squeeze, quiet. My own dog that I have right now, he's 2 years old, in the duck blind. He's kind of one of those that really he wants to be vocal.
Yeah.
So he's at a stage where he'll inadvertently make a little whine and he'll look over at me like, I didn't really mean to do that. Because he recognizes that it's getting a response that he doesn't want.
Yeah.
But I have to stay on it. Don't let it get going.
Subconscious makes so much sense. It just makes sense to me. That dog doesn't realize he's whining until I correct him.
Yeah, and the problem with that is once you correct him, if you see that they're right back to it and you go like, man, I mean, he doesn't want this correction, but he's right back to it again. That's really the convincing part, that it is subconscious. And nobody's built a product that takes care of this.
Yeah.
And if I could...
I would.
Yep, but your ears are smoking now, Tom, and, you, and the gears are always turning. Hey, there's a wealth of information in your web on your website. If folks want to look you up, take a closer look at what you're doing, what products you do have.
Yeah, deadfalltrainer.com, and that's got our whole product line in there, not only our training dummies, but everything else that we have, are producing. You know, all of this stuff is just, we use this every day, and that's probably more than anything else why we develop everything we do.
To learn more about Tom Dockin or John Bonnell or any of our pros here at Kinder Outdoors, just come see me, kinderoutdoors.com, K-I-N-D-E-R. Dallas is home to the Dallas Safari Club, and even though the convention and expo will move to Atlanta for the next 5 years because of construction at the K. Bailey Hutchison Convention Center in Dallas, doesn't change our home address. Come enjoy the show in Atlanta, January 9 through 12, 2025.
This old camp house has lots of room. Come on in, Kinder Outdoors.
Presented to you by Patriot Mobile, America's only Christian conservative wireless provider.
Carl Gunzer and I were talking about the huge benefits of feeding Purina Pro Plan Performance Formula to your hard-working dogs earlier, and how we should feed that fuel, even though it's a 30% protein, 20% fat, hot fuel. Feed it year-round, even in the summertime. You just cut back the amount that you feed when it's hot outside. Dogs aren't using as much of their fuel in the summertime. But there's lots of ProPlan formulas for every age and every lifestyle. And most of those formulas are at Atwoods Ranch and Home Stores. Drop by and pick up a bag today. Thank you so much for hanging out around our campfire here at Kinder Outdoors. We'd love to know where you are and how you listen. Drop by the Camp House website, kinderoutdoors.com, K-I-N-D-E-R. Leave a note on the door. Let us know where you are and how you listen. We'd sure appreciate it. AM, FM, podcast, broadcast, Sirius XM, we'd like to know. We have one of the finest storytellers ever in this old camp house. My friend Ray Sasser is deceased. He's gone now, but in the final years of his life, we spent a lot of time together with the tape recorder rolling, recalling some of Ray's favorite writings. You see, he authored 11 books on the great outdoors, was an incredible wildlife photographer, outdoor editor for the Dallas Morning News for 3 decades, and above all that, Ray was a fine hunter, fisherman, outdoorsman. Put your chair up here next to the campfire to hear our campfire storyteller, Ray Sasser.
Like most people who live near wildlife habitat, we had a varmint problem over the summer. Range conditions were so dry that the only water available to raccoons, skunks, and other critters was in town. Biologists like Dale Rollins call these animals mesomammals, a term from the Greek word mesos, meaning middle, center, or intermediate. In other words, meso mammals are not the top of the mammal food chain, and they're not the bottom. They're in between. As applied to skunks and raccoons in Texas, it would be more accurate to call them a meso mammals. There's a bunch of them, arguably more than at any time in Texas history. Rural roads are littered with dead skunks and raccoons. If that many are run over by cars and they just keep coming, how many more must there be in their decreasing habitat? Nobody knows, but it's a lot. I earned a new respect for coons when I bought a well-known brand of live trap to try and combat the varmint invasion. I had my sights set on a particular raccoon that I'd seen a couple of times. He's full-grown, and he's becoming more brazen, so it was time for me to get him. I ordered the trap from a local hardware store. It's specifically made for raccoons and has spring-loaded trapdoors on either end of a rectangular wire cage made from metal about the same gauge as cattle panel. Every time I set one of these things, I have to think about how to open the door and set the trigger that springs the trap door and locks it down to prevent escape. As per instructions on the box, I used cat food for bait. The next morning, I went out before daylight, shining my flashlight toward where I expected to see a captive raccoon cowering in a cage. Not only did I not see the coon, I didn't even see the trap. I found it 16 yards from where it had been set. It was jammed against a chain-link fence, but there was no raccoon. He'd probably moved the trap by rocking it to roll it over time and again until it was against the fence. He must have somehow used the fence for leverage and managed to disengage the trap door. I'd pay to watch him do it again. Dale Rollins wasn't surprised when I told him my story. When game cameras were new, he and a student named Fidel Hernandez used the technology to identify which critters were predating quail nests. The first cameras used film. Rollins drove past a research site one day and noticed that his camera was gone. He called Hernandez to see if he had moved the camera and found that he had not. A thorough search of the area revealed the camera about 50 yards from where the researchers had attached it to a tree. It was covered with muddy raccoon prints. The back was open and the film was stripped out. "I reckon he was destroying the evidence," said Rollins, who once described a corn-proof deer feeder as a feeder that's never had a game camera on it. When my wife returned the raccoon trap to the hardware store to get her money back, the store manager said he's hearing reports of raccoons tearing up deer feeders. One study done by the Caesar Clayburgh Institute indicated 9.4% of corn and 9.8% of protein pellets intended for deer are actually eaten by raccoons. With hunters and deer managers buying an estimated 300 million pounds of corn and millions more pounds of protein deer feed each year, it's easy to see why these are the good old days for raccoons.
My old friend Ray Sasser, always good to hear his voice. This corner of the camp house is brought to you by Purina Pro Plan. If you have a dog with an itchy coat, there's a Pro Plan formula for that. How about an older dog that could benefit from added glucosamine in his diet? Yep, there's a Pro Plan for that. No matter the age, the lifestyle, or the physical condition, there's a Pro Plan, Purina Pro Plan formula built for your dog at Atwood's Ranch and Home Stores.
I'm Larry Potterfield with Midway USA. And when I'm not in the great outdoors, I'm always thinking about it with Kinder Outdoors.
Hey, I'm Billy Kinder. Thank you sincerely for listening to Kinder Outdoors. Red-blooded, made in the USA. Just like Patriot Mobile, America's only Christian conservative wireless provider. Based and built right here in the United States. A portion of my phone bill every month goes to work for me and my Second Amendment, my First Amendment, sanctity of life, our military and first responders. That's right, a portion of my data bill, my wireless service. U.S.-based with U.S. service on American soil. And if you can make a phone call from your deer blind or your bass boat right now, no matter where you are, you're going to have that same great, strong 4G and 5G nationwide coverage with Patriot Mobile. I want to save your activation fee. Use the promo code KINDER at PatriotMobile.com. KINDER. Mobilizing freedom. Patriot Mobile.
I stand for my brothers who can't stand anymore. Men who hunted terrorists to the ends of the earth. Who sacrificed their bodies and their lives so that we could peacefully live ours. I stand for the children, the spouses, and parents whose family made the ultimate sacrifice for us. We are all standing. We're the National Rifle Association of America, and we are freedom's safest place.
At Marksman, we know firearms. Our mission is to guide and educate, whether you're new to firearms or an experienced, skilled shooter. We offer a large selection at reasonable prices with staff that's truly knowledgeable and always puts the customer first. Military and first responders get a 10% discount, and we offer free 90-day layaway. For guns, ammo, optics, or accessories, head to Marksman Firearms in Granbury, Mansfield, Killeen, or Wichita Falls. Make your mark at Marksman.
Life is better outdoors. Relax and find your space at the beautiful Vineyards Campground and Cabins on Grapevine Lake. Well known for its peaceful setting, lovely grounds, lakefront views, and accommodating Texas-friendly staff, our full hookup sites can accommodate all bus or RV sizes and offer 50-amp service, many spacious pull-throughs, cable TV, and lightning-fast Wi-Fi. Our fully furnished cabins make it easy to feel miles away without actually roughing it. Enjoy a partially shaded private beach, large playground, fishing pier, water sport rentals, hiking trails, and more. The on-site camp store offers a wide selection of camping supplies, groceries, and gifts. Our landmark pavilion is perfect for your next reunion, rally, or wedding. You'll feel miles away from everything when you're only minutes from anything. Check out historic downtown Grapevine with various entertainment venues, large festivals and events, restaurants, wineries, shopping, and the new world-class Harvest Hall. The Vineyards Campground and Cabins, vineyardscampground.com.
If you fry your turkeys during the holiday season and you're tired of the hassle of pots, open flames under hot oil, and sticky, oily messes, then it's time to take a good look at the Cajun Fryer by R&V Works. The original, the last fryer that you'll ever need to purchase. Cajun Fryer puts pro-level frying gear in your backyard or hunt and fish camp. These are high-performance, low-maintenance deep fryers that feature the heat source in the oil. Your oil heats from the inside out. If your family loves a fish fry, Cajun Fryer is a must. Because the heat source is suspended in the oil, small crumbs and pieces that burn fall to the bottom. So your oil stays much cleaner, many times lasting the entire year. Often imitated, never duplicated. Don't be fooled. Take a look at the original Cajun Fryer at CajunFryer.com. Fresh, crisp, delicious every time. CajunFryer.com.
Freedom rings border to border and coast to coast each week with Patriot Mobile and Kinder Outdoors.
One of the most enjoyable parts of my life, my entire lifetime, has been my time spent in the field with my bird dogs, whether that's a field trial or wild bird hunting. And I've always been really particular in my care for my dogs, what I feed them. And there's never been anything better or anything different in my kennel than Purina Pro Plan Performance Formula. 30% protein, 20% fat. That's a hot fuel. Should I feed it year-round? That's just one of the things I want to talk to my friend Carl Gunzer about with Purina Pro Plan in the great state of Colorado. Always a pleasure, Carl.
Well, it's great to be back. I always enjoy catching up, Billy.
Now, you're there in Colorado. Where exactly in Colorado are you?
Well, the closest town is Crawford, and it's on what's called the Western Slope. It's near Montrose or Gunnison, a little bit south of Grand Junction.
So you've got a few grouse over there. You've got some upland birds.
We do. Yeah, I miss my pheasants, of course, but there are some grouse here. There's also a surprising amount of good waterfowl hunting. People don't usually think of Western Colorado and waterfowl in the same breath. You know, they're fairly concentrated because of the rivers, but there is some agriculture out here. We grow quite a bit of corn, and it's a pretty good little flyway and little area in the wintertime.
That's a well-kept secret. That's a good one. I'm writing that down. Well, Carl,
yeah.
a lot of guys have been running in spring field trials, and maybe their dog's getting older, and it's time to replace them with a puppy. Not replace them, but add a puppy to the kennel, to the string.
You bet.
And boy, that German short hair down at the club has really been winning, or maybe that pointer or setter is excelling and doing well. How do we go about choosing a breed, not necessarily a puppy from a particular litter, but a breed if we want to branch out a little bit? What thought goes into that?
Yeah. Well, I think there's a lot of questions, right? I think the first thing is where you hunt and what you hunt. So, you know, it's going to be different if like you're a waterfowler, then, you know, a pointing breed or whatever is probably not the best choice. Obviously, the
The versatile breeds are good, but, you know, if you're a really diehard waterfowler, then I'd say certainly go with a retriever. Or conversely, if you're an upland hunter, you know, and you like birds pointed, then certainly the pointing breeds. You know, some other thoughts is how much land you have. So, right, if, are you in a subdivision? You know, if you're in a subdivision and you don't exercise that much, you know, do you really want to get a pointer that's going to be, you know, or a short hair or something that's going to be active in the yard? Or if you have a small house, you know, maybe you don't want a bigger breed. Maybe you'd look at a English Cocker or a Springer, a smaller breed. And then I think, you know, up north versus down south, of course, you know, the dogs have to be proficient wherever they are. But, you know, if you live in Arizona and only hunt in Arizona, maybe you really want to think about a short-haired breed like a Vizsla or a German Shorthair or a Pointer or something like that, you know, as opposed to a Drotha or a Wirehair or something that's got more fur. It's just going to be hotter. Or conversely, maybe you live in Minnesota. Maybe you want to think about something that's got a little more fur if you hunt in cold weather. So
yeah,
I think maybe, you know, what you hunt, where you hunt, where you live, all of those things play into the equation.
Good thinking, yeah. And I know with my field trial background, and you've seen this too, a lot of us get breed blind. Like me and my Brittany's, there's, you know, there's nothing quite as good as that out there anywhere. I'm staying with my Brittany's. And then the short hair starts winning a lot, and I say, well, okay, let me take a look at these short hair puppies.
Yeah,
I might jump the fence a little bit now.
Winning is persuasive. You, Billy, but yeah.
Winning is persuasive. I tell you what, no matter what breed you have and no matter where you live, I think we're in agreement, as are about 90% of the field trial champions across North America, that Pro Plan Sport, the performance formula in the purple sport bag, 30% protein, 20% fat, is absolutely the go-to fuel for the field trial and working dog, sporting dog community. Carl, it's everywhere.
Yeah, we're pretty proud of that. And, you know, we keep track of the winners, you know, the dogs that win the National Bird Dog Championship or the National Retriever Championship. And you know, there's no question that more winning dogs are fueled by Pro Plan than any other brand. And I think, you know, 9 of the last 10 bird dog national champions have eaten Pro Plan. And when you work that hard, you don't want to be worried about nutrition when it comes time to perform. And I think the quality and consistency of Pro Plan has really helped it excel in the sporting dog world.
You know, you've been with me out in West Texas, and you know how demanding that country is and how big it is and how far these dogs have to travel, not only today, but again tomorrow, day after day after day. And the wild bird hunters you meet down at the local diner or the gas station, you talk to them about it. And again, 9 times out of 10, Purina Pro Plan to keep those dogs rolling. Warmer weather coming up. This is a hot fuel, 30% protein, 20% fat. I have never switched from performance formula in the summertime. I just have cut back. Like the Pro Plan professionals have told me to, and it's worked beautifully for me through the years. You don't want to change feed.
Yeah, there's really no benefit to changing. There's no compelling reason to switch. You know, it is a complete and balanced formula. They can eat it their whole lives. They're not like us that they think, well, I want steak tonight and chicken tomorrow and shrimp the next day, right? To the dogs, you know, fuel. They don't live to eat like we do. They eat to live. And so, you know, there's really no reason to switch. The first thing is I want to hope that everybody is portioning their feed for their dogs, because I think that's really important, not just in the summer month, but year round, right? Like, you should not be free feeding and just letting a dog have free access to food, because then you don't know if, you know, they go off their feed, how much they're eating. They can get heavy. They can get skinny. They don't learn to eat. So then when you go on the road, you know, and you give them their bowl for, you know, 2 hours in their crate, they're like, well, I got this all day. I don't need to eat now. And so then they eat right before they have to run. So there's a million good reasons that say we should portion their food and feed them on a regular schedule.
And then in the summertime, when they're not working, you know, frankly, they just need fewer calories. So do yourself a favor and feed the same food, feed a little bit less, and save a few dollars on your feed bill.
It's been proven scientifically that our dog's metabolism, by the time they adjust to a new feed, it doesn't happen overnight. It takes time, and it's easier on their system just to feed the same fuel year-round and cut back the portion like you were talking about.
Yeah, it takes around 8 weeks, maybe up to 12 weeks, for their body to start metabolizing a different protein and fat level to their best ability. So, you know, about the time you'd want to start reducing their food, you'd probably need to be switching back to it, you know, for the fall. You know, if you start to say you want to take them off of the 30-20 in June or something, well, you know, if you hunt in September, you really need to be starting them back on 30-20 in July. So, you know, sort of a little bit, what's the point? I guess, you know, and there can be exceptions to every rule. You know, if there's a dog that just gets heavy, has a slower metabolism, tends to be overweight, then absolutely, you know, you could consider switching them off of the 30-20. In fact, maybe they shouldn't be on 30-20, you know, year-round. If, you know, they're a spayed female that's not super active, you know, there's a lot of great formulas, a 26-16 and others that, you know, have different caloric densities. But in general, the best advice is keep the dog on the same formula year-round.
Carl Gunzer, my friend at Purina Pro Plan. Thank you so much, Carl. I appreciate the time.
Thanks, Billy. Always a pleasure.
Good morning. This is Sergeant First Class Michael Tucker with 112th Combat Services Support Company, Texas Army National Guard, Navarro County, Texas. And when I'm not in the great outdoors, we're thinking about it with Big Billy Kinder Outdoors.
When you drop your wild game off at Cinnamon Creek Ranch Wild Game Processing, go ahead, order up your ground meat and breakfast sausage. But don't stop there.
We worked on a taco meat for 3 years to where women and kids would eat it, and a chili that we make now where you just take these things home and just throw them in a crock pot or fry them in a pan and they're ready to go. Our tamales are probably hands down to anyone's. They're double meat and, you know, masa, and they're simple, and they're we just can't make them fast enough. They're fully cooked. All you got to do is poke two or three holes in the bag that we give them to you in and throw them in the microwave for 3.5 minutes aside, and it's like we just pulled them out of our steamer the day we made them.
These items have become staples in our home. Robin's favorite is the taco meat. I'm partial to the tamales, and what a feast when we put it all together for friends and family. Cinnamon Creek Wild Game Processing, just north of Fort Worth, about a mile from Cabela's as the crow flies. CinnamonCreekRanch.com.
Hi, I'm Cecil Miskin from the Herdware retail store in Goodnight, Texas, right on US 287, about an hour east of Amarillo. The location is truly a Texas treasure. In fact, the building and acreage will soon become part of the Texas Historical Commission's Goodnight Ranch Historical Site. That means that our physical store there will be closing before the end of this July. Come in as soon as you can to snap up our closeout deals on clothing, shoes, boots, art, and more. Remember, too, that we do FaceTime, Google Meets, and Zoom over the Internet shopping evenings. Give me a call to set up a time if you'd like to do that. Of course, we will still be online with unique bison offerings at herdware.net, as we have all these years. Plan on coming to our closeout roundup the first full week in July for food, music, gifts, and the last of the deals. Details soon available on our website, herdware.net. That is herdware, H-E-R-D-W-E-A-R.net. See you in Goodnight at Herdware.
Freedom hunters. They say thank you to our very bravest and finest in a very special way.
We're a 501c3 military outreach program. We take servicemen and their families out on outdoor ventures, mainly hunting, fishing, shooting trips all around the country and internationally, too.
These trips are more than a thank you and a good time. Far more.
It invigorates them. The healing comes out of it. You know, it's amazing. I started it just as a thank you, as a give back. I had no idea the therapeutic value of these hunts. I mean, it changes them. You can see it in their eyes. When they show up at camp, they're quiet and reserved. By the end of camp, they're opened up and you know, chatting with other veterans. It's amazing. You can go on our website. We've got a donation button, or just email us and say, hey, here's the opportunity. We'll fit a vet into that opportunity, whatever it is. Freedomhunters.org.
Every animal that has ever roamed this planet was designed as hunted or hunter, predator or prey. We are hunters. If it were ever necessary, even the strictest vegan would return to the wild, driven to survive by the instincts of his ancestors. Those who hide behind the soft delusion of their own ignorance do so from within a civilization whose very being costs the lives of countless creatures every single day. Death is an undeniable fuel of life. This is the undeniable truth of existence. To live in balance with the planet that sustains us, we must admit and embrace the nature within us. Trust the hunter in your blood.
Once upon a time, long, long ago, elk roamed bountifully across most of North America. Their bugle cut the early morning fog in the hills of Tennessee, Kentucky, Virginia, coast to coast. And then they were gone. But in 1984, the Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation was born. And since then, a quarter of a million people have joined the elk effort. Nearly 9.5 million acres have been preserved or access opened up to the public. There are more than 500 RMEF chapters, and the way we go about our business makes us one of the most efficient and effective conservation organizations in the U.S. The Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation plays a leading role in restoring elk to their historic habitat. Today, make a difference in the world. Make an impact. Learn how at rmef.org.
Patriot Mobile speaks loud and clear. Freedom of speech, freedom of religion, parental rights, and sanctity of life. Patriot Mobile, proud partners with Kinder Outdoors.
Kinder Outdoors, brought to you in part by my friends at the Dallas Safari Club, DSC. And I don't care where you are, if you're listening to us in Nebraska, Florida, Montana, wherever, there's a DSC chapter near you. Did you know that? The growing DSC chapter system, nearly 25 chapters across the country, now a part of the DSC family. Chapters keep and direct 95% of the funds raised locally. Learn more about it at kinderoutdoors.com, K-I-N-D-E-R. It's that time of year. Morel mushrooms are in full bloom. Boy, they're great with butter, salt, and pepper, and a nice filet. Brad Wildermuth joins me now. He has a website called thegreatmorel.com.
Brad, welcome to the show. I don't know anything about morel mushrooms other than they just taste great, and I'm here to learn more, Brad.
Well, let's see what we can get going here, Billy.
That sounds good. Brad, the morel mushroom changed my life some years ago. I wasn't a mushroom fan really at all, and then I had morel mushrooms somewhere, and I thought, this is really, really good. And then on a fishing trip in Arkansas not long after that, a buddy said, I'm not fishing today. I'm hunting mushrooms, morel mushrooms. And I thought he was crazy, but it's a big deal. People love to hunt this time of year for morel mushrooms, don't they?
Yeah, it is. It is a big deal. And it's pretty widespread across the U.S., in terms of popularity, I can think of probably at least most of the southern states, clear up through the Midwest states, up into Maine, and then you got the Pacific Northwest as well.
Yeah, so it's widespread. Morels are loved by everybody. Here's step number one in my morel education, Brad. When I reach down to pluck a mushroom, how do I know I'm picking a morel and not something that's going to make me see purple spots spinning around?
I think the very first indication is they simulate or look like a sponge. I mean, for beginners, that's probably the easiest thing. And then there's some great resources, including our website, that can really help you identify them. But there's only, like, I believe 11, 12 maybe edible mushrooms that are out there. And the morel is probably the easiest to identify because of the spongy look to it.
Yeah, and you're right. If folks will go to thegreatmorel.com, the Great Morel, you're going to see plenty of examples, and you're going to get a full education on morel mushrooms. So if I were coming to your house for dinner, Brad, how are you going to serve those morel mushrooms up? You have a favorite?
Hey, I'm an old-fashioned guy. There's probably the classic morel recipe, which is usually just a fried in a cast iron skillet. Some people prefer some breading, and some people don't, but just a slab of butter and medium heat. Some people do crackers. Some people anymore, with the culinary experts that are out there, there is a wide, wide range of what you can do with them. But frying is probably the most common, so.
Yeah, there you go. And like we said before, if you'll visit thegreatmorel.com, you're going to see a lot of examples and all kinds of recipes and great information there. Morel mushroom hunters, it's like people that collect Jeeps. You know, you got the Jeep Club or these different groups around. There's a big world of morel mushroom hunters out there, and they're passionate about it, aren't they?
Oh, they very much are. So, and the seasoned hunters all have theories, some validated and some not, but no matter which mushroom hunter you'll come across, you could be in the woods and, oh, it's too dry today, we need more rain, the mayapple burn up, got to find these certain type of trees, and lots of people have opinions, and rightfully so. So, but very
yeah,
common.
There you go. How long does morel mushroom season last? Is it a short period of time every year?
Yeah, typically you'll start to see them pop up in the southern states, Alabama, Georgia, Arkansas, some Louisiana, in the early part of March. And then they tend to migrate north as the spring kind of heads north. So at least in the eastern states, you know, they'll just kind of move right on up into Tennessee, Kentucky, Oklahoma, and sometimes in Texas as well. Typically about a four-week period from the time you find your first one till they tend to go away.
Yeah, it's kind of like spawning crappie or the bass spawn, you know. It's pretty intense when it's here, but it's only a few weeks, so you got to get out there and get after it.
Yeah, and many times we're at the mercy of the weather, and you'll hear a lot of people just complain about the weather.
Yeah.
They tend to run in cycles, too. You'll typically find what's called the gray morel variety early on, or blacks, and then you'll go to the cream yellows, what some people call creams or blondes, and then the yellows are typically the bigger ones that come near the end of the season. And when you find in the yellow ones, you pretty much know that your season's coming to an end.
See, I'm learning as we go here. I'm becoming a morel expert right before your ears there, Brad. Hey, if you find a morel mushroom, does that mean there's going to be a bunch in that area? You're on to something there, or are they pretty sporadic and you really have to hunt for them?
I think, certain regions really have to hunt for them. Got an email from somebody in North Carolina that claimed that, they used to be from the Midwest, and you really have to hunt for them. Yet there are those in Ohio and Indiana, Pennsylvania that really have to hunt for them, unlike when you get up into Michigan and Wisconsin and Iowa, where they tend to be a lot more plentiful for some reason.
Yeah. Bass fishermen, deer hunters, we travel. We'll go across the United States or halfway around the world for a great fishing trip or hunting trip. do mushroom hunters do that in the spring too? Will they take all of their vacation in the spring and say leave Arizona and then go to Georgia and then up to Michigan and kind of follow the morels around? You ever heard of anybody like that?
Yeah, that's not uncommon. Actually, that's probably very common. Some team members of ours went. Some team members of ours wanted to get a jump start, so they went to northern part of Georgia here at the end of March, and they had a little bit of success. But yeah, it's very common. I think people, especially once they get transplanted to other parts of the U.S., if they grew up being mushroom hunters, you'll tend to find that they want to get back home to do it again. So.
Oh, that's awesome. And if folks want to learn more about the morel mushroom, maybe plan a mushroom hunt of your own or get a recipe or whatever, talk to some other mushroom hunters, morel mushroom hunters. It's thegreatmorel.com. Great website, by the way, Brad. You guys have the morel mushroom covered top to bottom.
Hey, thank you, Bill. I appreciate it. Hey, the other thing, there's a lot of great clubs out there, especially regional clubs, morel clubs and stuff like that. So if somebody is interested, do a little Google research and see what's going on there. I know particularly up in Michigan and Wisconsin and stuff, they'll do, group hunts and stuff like that and take people out. And
Yeah. You know, we're all familiar with fishing guides. You can get a morel guide too, I guess.
That's right.
Right.
Yes, you can. Yeah. And they're out there. I mean, so yeah, I strongly encourage people who haven't done it before to get your family out there and really make it an event of just getting back in touch with nature.
Yeah, great way to get the family out in the woods. Well, I've enjoyed our conversation, Brad. Thank you so much for sharing the morel info with us today. And, again, great website.
All right, hey, thanks for having me, all right?
This corner of the Kinder Outdoors Camp House brought to you by the Dallas Safari Club 2025 Convention and Sporting Expo will be in Atlanta. Hey, you Atlanta folks! You're going to love this. Florida, Mississippi, Alabama. Come see us January 9 through 12 at the Georgia World Congress Center.
Wally Marshall, Mr. Crappie here, to introduce you to the finest crappie rods ever built. The Wally Marshall Classic Signature Series. Premium IMS graphite medium light blanks, designed with the perfect balance, sensitivity, and plenty of backbone to pull big slabs out of heavy cover straight into the live well. Featuring stainless steel guides and inserts for maximum reliability, and lightweight reel seats for more sensitivity. The Wally Marshall Classic Series comes in 5'6" to 7'6" spinning, 8-foot through 11-foot jigging poles, and 12-foot to 16-foot trolling rods. I'm so proud of the new Wally Marshall Pro Target 100 spinning reel, built with 11 ball bearings, carbon drag system, super light graphite body, and anti-reverse clutch with premium performance. Designed for shooting docks, casting light jigs, and forward-facing sonar techniques. Feel the difference with Wally Marshall Classic Signature Crappie Rods, Wally Marshall Pro Target spinning reels, and Wally Marshall Pro Target rods at lose.com.
I'm Tom Watson with Bended Knee International, asking you to pray for the Navajo people of New Mexico and Arizona. The COVID-19 pandemic has hit these native people exceptionally hard. In many cases, multiple families live in the same home. Water is carried from muddy streams for household use, and medical care is many miles away. I simply ask that you join me in lifting them up to the Lord. To learn more, please visit bendedknee.org.
If you sell hunting, fishing, outdoors products, and you'd like to directly speak to folks like me that enjoy the great outdoors, this might be a great place for you to advertise. Kinder Outdoors. We reach many thousands of hunters and fishermen each and every week, all across the country and right here at home. This is the perfect place for you to advertise your goods and services. This puts you in the pickup, in the blind, and on the boat when we are. Come see us at kinderoutdoors.com to learn more. There's a place I love to go in the pristine Texas Hill Country that features first-class lodging, outstanding cuisine, world-class wing shooting, the best free-range access deer hunting in the world, my favorite, by the way, plus native whitetails and turkey, and some of the most comfortable hosts that you've ever enjoyed. Don't forget to throw in the fly rod. You'll want to experience the crystal clear waters of Joshua Creek and the Guadalupe River.
Rolling hills and Texas live oaks, friendly smiles, and spring-fed waters. Orvis and Beretta agree that Joshua Creek is one of the finest hunting and shooting ranches in existence. And I think you will too. You won't find a prettier place to get married. And our staff and facilities will make your corporate event, family reunion, or private party turnkey and the best you'll ever experience. Joshua Creek Ranch in the historic Texas Hill Country between San Antonio and Fredericksburg. Want to go? Of course you do. JoshuaCreek.com. National outdoor writer Ken Kirkaby knows of what he writes.
I think I probably hunted in just about every western state. And I fly fished in a lot of those places.
He's fished the waters, walked the land, and harvested the game that makes him authentic.
That's where the basis of that comes from. I wanted to make this really authentic, and I wanted people to identify with it. Guys like you and I have a real hard time finding good stuff to read, because it's written by guys that just don't know what the heck they're writing about. And guys like you and I, we read two pages and we say, hey, that's phony. This is not the way it is.
Ever since The Old Man and the Sea, fishing novels have been scarce on the horizon. That was until national outdoor writer Ken Kirkaby wrote his Blue Water classic, The Tournament. Chuck Winchler of Sporting Classics says you can read The Tournament in about the time it takes to catch a big marlin. And every moment will be just as fun, just as exciting. Jennifer Mayhall of Paradise This Week says, The Tournament reels you into the world of sport fishing and doesn't let you go. The Tournament by Ken Kirkaby. Get it on Amazon.
God Bless America, with freedom to enjoy the creation and worship the Creator. This is the Kender Outdoors Camp House. Proud partners with Patriot Mobile.
You know, we were hunting for morel mushrooms with Brad Wildermuth from thegreatmorel.com before the break, and now that we've gathered them up, we've got to do something with them. Here's my good friend and incredible in the kitchen, Master Chef John Bonnell. John, I know you've been morel mushroom hunting in your time.
Oh, I have, and it's one of the greatest things in the world when you can harvest your own. Morels are absolutely the king of mushrooms, and they are incredible. If you don't know what you're doing, don't just go grabbing mushrooms. But if you know, if you've got someone that'll teach you, morels are absolutely the gold of the forest. I mean, when we can find them commercially, they'll go for $30 to $40 a pound.
Wow. Hey, they are so good, either compliments to a steak or even just by themselves. How do we prepare our mushrooms, John? I would think we'd want to be really careful and kind of delicate with them.
You bet. To me, the greatest thing about morels is just their incredible woodsy, earthy flavor. So I don't like to do too much with them. Celebrate what they are and don't go overboard. Once you've picked them up and brought them home, make sure you clean them really well. Give them a rinse. They've got lots of holes in them, so look and make sure you get everything out of there if they've got some debris or dirt or anything. Once they're clean, get you a hot saute pan, a little bit of butter, some shallots and garlic, a little fresh thyme. Saute them for about a minute, and that's it. They just need a nice little saute, a couple of little complimentary flavors, and they are amazing by themselves. They go great on top of a steak. Any type of wild game that you've got, morels on the side will hit them perfectly for a pairing. Beautiful flavors.
That is so simple. You can do that over a campfire, out on a spring turkey hunt with guys.
Absolutely. And if you've got really big ones, just slice them into about, quarter inch rings and give them a quick saute. You don't have to cook them to death. You don't have to reduce them down anything. They work really well in a sauce. They work well in a soup. But just really fresh sauteed with a little butter is unbelievable in flavor.
John Bonnell, Master Chef, and our Camp House cook here at Big Billy Kinder Outdoors. If folks want to check you out online, find out where your restaurants are and come see you, John, it's easily done.
You bet. The Bonnell's Restaurant Group.com. It's just Bonnell's Restaurant Group.com, or you can visit any of our Facebook pages. If you look for Bonnell, you'll find us.
I'm proud to partner with the Dallas Safari Club. Have you ever heard of the DSC 100? DSC wouldn't be DSC without a volunteer army known as the DSC 100, named for those that give 100%. This group numbers more than 500 volunteers, the backbone of DSC. A tip of the hat from all of us that are part of the Dallas Safari Club to the DSC 100. Let's take a little trip to Minnesota, Northfield, Minnesota. That's where my friend Tom Dockin and his world-famous Oak Ridge Kennels reside.
Hey, Tom, it's a problem whether you're testing your dog or if you're hunting your dog. He's making noise in the blind because he's excited, especially that young dog, and he's anticipating what's about to happen, and he's vocalizing that. Is there anything we can do about that?
Well, there's two things here. I always kind of ask, is he barking or is he whining?
Oh, there's a difference?
Yeah, there is. I mean, how to take care of it is different.
Yeah.
I'd rather have a dog that would want to bark, and people go, why would you want one that wants to bark? Barking, you can do a bark collar. And when the dog would bark, the dog would get a correction. But the biggest reason there is a dog understands to quit barking. I mean, they catch on to that really quick. And then I wouldn't physically be doing anything.
Yeah.
You just say, okay, you take care of your barking problem on your own. Whining, I'm totally convinced it's subconscious. It's subconscious. I mean, discipline-wise, I don't care what you would do in normal situations. You have a dog that whines. A house could fall on him, and 2 seconds later, he's whining. And it's just tough. My suggestion on that for anybody who's starting off with a young dog is nip it in the bud right away. So if you have a puppy who's whining or a young, not just in the blind, but they start whining, you know, get that muzzle, grab that muzzle, give a little squeeze, quiet. I don't care how good a dog trainer you are either. I've had dogs, my own personal dogs, that, you know, I go, I got to stay on him because I don't want this to go. For the first 2 minutes when you're in the blind, oh, isn't that cute?
Yeah.
If somebody's hunting with you.
Yeah.
The next 4 hours,
miserable.
It's just lost everything. So I'd say the biggest thing is that don't let it get started. If you see it start happening at home or some of those things, do it. One other thing that you can do, though, too, those dogs are normally those higher energy dogs and drive-wise. Take yourself a training dummy and, you know, early on, just wear them down a little bit.
Yeah.
Take that edge off.
Right.
You know, have you ever seen a dog whining while he's pheasant hunting?
No.
I mean, they're on the move.
Right.
It's that anticipation of, I'm sitting here, I'm waiting, you know, there's nothing going on.
Yeah.
But that anticipation when they see that bird come in, they know what's going to happen.
Sure.
And then it's not just when they see a bird coming in, it's like, I'm anticipating we might see some birds coming
in.
So that makes it tough. So barking, definitely. Bark collar, you can take care of that. Any whining, grab that muzzle. And you may have to, you know, squeeze a little bit, quiet, and you may have to increase that intensity. And then I always say if worse comes to worse, you cannot take care of it. I say I have a cure for about $50.
Yeah?
And everybody goes, you're kidding me. I go, get a set of earmuffs.
Yeah.
It's the cure is for your ears, not for the dog, because it's just not going to stop.
Yeah.
And this would apply not only to our sporting dogs, which we love to talk about, but our house dogs. Man, that's very common with a dog that wants to be fed while you're eating or wants outside or whatever he might want. If he has a desire and he's not getting it, he can just really drive you nuts with the whining.
Well, and they'll manipulate you.
Yeah.
I mean, at that point, you go like, well, what do you want?
Right.
Well, he wants food. Well, what did he do?
He
actually communicated to you, here's what I want, but has learned more importantly that if I make this noise, I get your attention.
Yeah.
So it's no different if you're trying to crate train a puppy or something, that if every time they whine, you let them out.
Yep.
Who's training who?
Yeah, the whining just gets amplified. One more time, the muzzle.
Yeah, a little squeeze on that muzzle. And you can do it with those younger pups, too. Just a light little squeeze, quiet. Starts up again. And what you want to do is find a level where you might start getting some silence. So start off light, like any other correction. And then you come back in if they start right away. Just a little more squeeze, quiet. My own dog that I have right now, he's 2 years old, in the duck blind. He's kind of one of those that really he wants to be vocal.
Yeah.
So he's at a stage where he'll inadvertently make a little whine and he'll look over at me like, I didn't really mean to do that. Because he recognizes that it's getting a response that he doesn't want.
Yeah.
But I have to stay on it. Don't, just don't let it get going.
Subconscious makes so much sense. It just makes sense to me. That dog doesn't realize he's whining until I correct him.
Yeah, and the problem with that is once you correct them, if you see that they're right back to it, and you go like, man, I mean, he doesn't want this correction,
yeah,
but he's right back to it again. That's really the convincing part, that it is subconscious. And nobody's built a product that takes care of this.
Yeah.
And if I could, I would.
Yep, but your ears are smoking now, Tom, and the gears are always turning. Hey, there's a wealth of information on your website. If folks want to look you up, take a closer look at what you're doing, what products you do have.
Yeah, deadfalltrainer.com, and that's got our whole product line in there, not only our training dummies, but everything else that we are producing. You know, all of this stuff is just, we use this every day, and that's probably more than anything else why we develop everything we do.
His kennels and his products have produced some of the finest retrievers on the planet. Tom Dockin up in Minnesota at his Oak Ridge Kennels. Hey, I want to thank you for hanging out with us today around our campfire at Kinder Outdoors. I also want to thank my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, for the time we've had together, and invite you back next time around. Till then, may God bless you and your bunch.